First, giving all honor and great praise to Elohim, Yezreel, the faithful God, Adonai, the Almighty God, Jehovah Rapha, the healing God, Jehovah Jireh, the providing God. And honor to our pastor and our first lady, and honor to our youth pastor, Ms. Hampson, Pastor Jay, who was so kind enough to ask me to stand in his stead, and then we got approval for my name. They said it was okay. And to my sister who's sitting on the roster with me, Brother Jared, our interceding shepherd and his absent Pastor Gordon, to the King of my council, Mr. Jones, I'm so glad that you made it in today. I am going to tell you guys, I'm in such awe of how God would move in somebody like this man. I'm so glad that he's finally decided to be a part of this family and is actually doing a good job. So I honor you today, husband. I'm so glad that I'm here to a man of God. And I want to give all praise and honor to you for coming today. You need our support, so I'll just put that out there today. Of course, Sunday rolling around, we shouldn't draw back on them. We should be encouraging us. So it's a pleasure to see all the faces in the place today, because our babies, they're not our future, they're our present. Amen. And you can see that we care about their souls and what they're doing. God's got to be honored for that. I'm not going to be before you long today because I am preaching to you. I don't know where he went, but I guess we'll be out and says I don't often get a chance to really encourage them through the message. I hope that this is even when we preach it to the adults, but this is crafted specifically, kind of, sort of, for them. So I pray that God will let them listen and hear it, understand what he's trying to say to them on today. So if you don't mind, just give me your ears for a few moments and go with me to the New Testament. We're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I'm going to extend it because I had something else written on paper, but you know you got to follow the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. So I'm going to extend it. We're going to chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 7, 3:11. Still not long. 7:3:11. If you're there, let me know. If you're not there, say you're there. We're going to Hebrews. It's right beyond Philippi. In the New Testament. Are you there yet?
Amen.
Amen. So let us read. Enduring hardship is discipline. God is treating you as his children. For children are not disciplined by their father. What children are not disciplined by the father? If you're not disciplined, and anyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate and not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have seen it and trained by it. Amen. The Lord's words have already been blessed. You may take your seats.
Amen.
Father God in heaven, I come to you as long as I come. I just want to thank and praise you for being the God that you are. I ask you, O Father God, to sit me down and stand up your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the sacred cross, God. Let these words that are coming out of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord, my strength, and my redeemer. For your thought today, I want to tell you that I need your help and I need your prayers. And I want you to help me by telling the person sitting next to you that it is for your own good. If I had a dollar, I did say a dollar though. Every time I heard that statement growing up as a child in my adult life, I could afford a vacation home somewhere on the exotic island with beachfront views, sitting out looking at the water while it crashed against the rocks, because that's calming to me. It puts me in a peaceful state of mind. If I had heard that statement, it's for your own good. I digress. It's for your own good. I heard it from my mother. I heard it from my teachers. I heard it from my siblings. I heard it from my friends. I even heard it from my own child saying, Mama, it's for your own good. today what the Lord is saying to us through his holy word. The Lord speaks to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that discipline is for our own good. That chapter 12 of Hebrews is giving you a reason to endure discouraging times. It is an admonishment to us to look to Jesus as a source and our guides. It is our right application in what we have read and understood from chapter 11. Because of our heroes of faith demonstrated in some form or fashion their abilities to be disciplined.
Yes.
Noah had to be disciplined in order to stay faithful and erect the sign of building that ark. Abraham had to be disciplined for he followed God's instruction by going to land he knew nothing about. Sarah had to be disciplined in order that if God said she would have a baby in her old age, she would have a baby. I want you to know that discipline in its righteous form is not designed to injure or control, but to prepare you for the rough roads ahead in life. When we are disciplined at the house, it makes better action for what happens outside the house.
Amen.
How oftentimes we see discipline is a negative light. Even when we hear the word discipline, for many of us, we say, here we go again. Somebody trying to boss us around. We just want to do our own thing. However, oftentimes, our initial reaction are wrong reactions because discipline is for our own good.
Yes.
You may not see it at the time, but further on up the road, you will see with your rebellious self that it was just mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, even friend disciplining you was for your own good.
Yes.
So today I want to take this God theology and put some practicality to it because you do know that you're not just hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. You do know that knowing to do the right thing, but not doing the right thing, is dangerous practice, right? Because James says, if anyone then knows the good, they ought to do it, and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So James is saying, if you know to do the right thing, and you're not doing the right thing, you're sinning. So let's look at, I got enough stuff with that we need to do to be able to run through all right here. So let me have somebody in the room today. By showing you that if we follow God's words, by being his people, and doing what is for God's good pleasure, that following his disciplinary instructions will in fact be for our own good. So I want to help somebody in here today by giving you some practical principles in this room. And of course, somewhere down the line, I'm going to back it up with scripture. You know I am. I'm going to back it up. I'm not trying to impress upon anyone to adapt to any altruistic mentality. But discipline to correct your children in a godly way with love, honor, and respect, that they will in turn love, honor, respect you. So here's just a few practical discipline principles. Just a few. Obedience. Respect for authority. Observance of established rules. There are more, of course, but those three alone, if we talked about them a lot, we'd be here all day if we want to get down somewhere and get ready. But let me put a few things out there where you can reach it. Let's start with the obedience principle. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, so things will go well with you that you may enjoy your long life on the earth. So first of all, let me say this. It is a blessing. It's a blessing to be raised by godly parents. And notice I didn't say Christian parents, I said godly. Because we got a lot of Christian parents who don't live up to that moniker or its standards. They say they use that moniker when they go against God's precept. You know they'll use it. They'll use it. God knows my heart. He does know your heart. And if you're training up the child the way it should go, then you're not allowing him to be disobedient, and you're not practicing any discipline. I know it's going to be tight, but it's going to be right.
That's all right.
Young people, I want you to hear me when I say this. Godly parental discipline is for you and your own good.
Yes.
When mom and dad, and I pray it's both, it's not always the case. We're not in truth to believe that. But however, when mom and dad are being led by God, their demand for obedience is for two reasons. One, to keep you safe from the cruelty of the world. And two, and for safety in your house. I know you want to know what that means, right? So let me help you right here. Cruelty of the world. Let's say you are in the store and you're in line. You don't just walk up to the line and step in front of the person that's standing there already. That's rude and disrespectful.
Yes.
And if you get to the right person, the wrong person, you may cause a situation unnecessarily that may cause you some physical harm. So then you know your mom and dad is going to snap off right there.
Right.
Cruelty of the world. on, we got to keep it together. We got to keep it together. Your Satan in the house. I know you want to know what that means, right? So let me help you again right here. If your mom told you at 10 o'clock to clean up your room, and she came back at 12 o'clock, and you still sit in that same spot, that bottle that you're sitting on may become a little tender, and too tender to continue to sit on it. Y'all feel me? To keep you safe from the cruelty of the world and keep you safe in the house. Somebody out there, Jesus was safety message. When you're at school, entertainment arenas, even at your friend's house, more importantly, when you're in the house of the Lord. So let me make it plain for you. When you are at church, there are some certain behaviors and responses that if you get out of line, things will not go well with you. Following requirements for obedience is for your own good. Yes, yes. Now, young people, you're probably not going to be familiar with this name because he is someone who is way, way, way before your time. He's from my grandparents here, and I'm way, way before his time. His name is Dr. Benjamin Spock. He was a world-renowned pediatrician, psychologist, who, to my recollection, became more and more controversial over a book of his child rearing from the 1940s. I myself was not familiar with him. Didn't become familiar with him until some 30-some-odd years later. I heard about Dr. Spock in 1998, somewhere around there. Again, way before your time. But most of your parents and grandparents probably are familiar with Dr. Spock. Well, it's my belief that Dr. Spock's methods for disciplining red children, coupled with the evil that's already in the earth, has ruined a lot of people's lives by cultivating undisciplined and apathetic generations that is continuing to this day, by producing in your generation now more bullies, more low self-esteem, more identity crisis than we've ever seen before. Because perhaps, Dr. Spock didn't know Ephesians 6. He has given an all-access pass permission to children to do what they want, when they want, however they want, with little to no consequences. But I remind you again that the Lord said to obey your parents because it is the first promise, it's the first commandment with a promise. And I hear your little man sister down there and saying, what's the promise? What's the promise? No, it's not the next iPhone. No, it's not the next new Xbox game. No, it's not all the candy you can eat to your little belly about the bus. It's so that things will go well with you while you are on the earth. So let me put it to you this way. You only have a little while to be a child. That's from birth to 21. Once you hit 21, that's when society kicks in and takes over and says, oh, you a man now. Oh, you a woman now. That's when things really start coming at you. Because once you get to be an adult, there is no going back. You can't go back. That's when all you have to take all responsibility for your actions. All, not some, all of the actions that you have are going to be your responsibility. Now, you can make that phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe mom and dad can get up and run down to the police station and get you. However, that 11 o'clock curfew should have been sufficient for you if you were being obedient. Parents, y'all will stay obedient. So, amen to that.
Amen.
So, children obey your parents. I'm in your mother and your father that things will go well with you. The principle number two. This is the one I know is going. It is out there. Respect for authority. That's a good one. We could talk about it all day, but we ain't got all day. We're just going to talk about it for a little while. Because I don't know when it really started happening. But I can tell you that in my generation, the rebellion against authority is nowhere near what it is today. I've never seen that like it. It was not like that when I was growing up. I promise I will put this for y'all to reach it. Now, in this season of your life, and it's only for a season, because I just got through telling you, if Jesus delayed his coming back in our lifetime, you're going to grow up to be adults. But in this season, today, tomorrow, for most of you, the next 10 years, you're going to be in some type of formal education. So when you go to school, your teacher is in authority over you for the next 7 to 8 hours. That's Monday through Friday. They deserve your respect. Now, if for some reason they're not being respectful to you, then you tell your mom and your dad and let them take the appropriate action. That talking back, rolling your ass, popping your lips, and chicking your neck, Y'all babies don't behave that way because I know y'all moms. And they don't play that. But what I'm saying to you is, if you see your peers doing it, don't you follow suit. Don't you join in doing that, because that is being disrespectful. Are you still with me? I'm just pouring some practicality today, because God's word has to be put into practice. Amen, lights. We have to teach our children to respect authority. Your authority as parents often come into play when children display disrespect publicly. What y'all teaching them at the house? And I want you to know that authority does not just stay in school and your parents. It applies here too. Yeah, it applies here. Whether you believe it or not, it applies here. Every godly adult, and keep noticing, I said godly, I put a qualifier on it, because not every person you encounter will be godly. But I pray for that discernment that Jesus gave you, that spirit he got, that you will know who is godly and who is not. And I already know that you're covered under the blood of the shadow of the Almighty. And every godly person that is overseeing you is an authoritative figure. Pastor Williams, Reverend Gordon, Pastor Varela, Reverend Jerry, even myself. Even if you don't respect the person, respect their position so things will go well with you. Listen, I'm going to have somebody out right now to help you. You still got your Bibles handy? Because y'all should have put them away. Y'all know how to do. You're going someplace else. But don't worry about it. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about respect for authorities. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 5. Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So God himself established government. If you kind of go back to Genesis, there was government. Who did Joseph work for? So he was like a governor. So when Joseph was falsely accused, he was ended up in prison, right? Righteous incarceration is for those who break the law. Joseph didn't do anything, but he wound up in jail. Can you imagine if he had did something wrong? That's praise God for Joseph's covering. But what am I trying to convey to you? That there was governance even back in the Bible days. There is nothing new under the sun. Verse number 2 says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, what God has instituted, and those who do will bring judgment upon themselves. Don't be crying if you can't do time. They don't necessarily back talking will end you up in your room. With no iPad, no iPhone, no Xbox, no TV, no one. Don't do the grind if you can't get the time. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Verse 3. For rulers have no terror for those who do right. But for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from the fear of authority? Then do what is right and you will be commanded. I'm not going to speak to any parent here, but I'm just going to say this to you. If you ask the mommy, she would tell you, Nana don't reward bad behavior. And not just her. Ask my mom. She'll tell you too. I don't reward their behavior, and neither does God. See, it's apparent to me, and I'm not just talking to you, SBC per se, because I know we got people watching us Facebook Live. This is a PSA. For some reason, because I see it at restaurants, I see it at movies, I see it at the store, I see it at birthday parties. Children have obviously got some of you adults in some form of bondage, mental bondage. If I say something to my child or children in general, they ain't gonna like me. I'm gonna be friends with my kids. All of that's really good. That's really good. But if you're not teaching them any form of self-control, when they get out into the world, they're gonna be evil at them. Some kids, I dare not say all, because it wouldn't be a true or fair statement. But don't fully grasp consequences. I just believe that children have some level of fear. No, I'm not talking about the boogeyman fear. I'm not talking about ooh. But I'm talking about that fear that if I disappoint my parents, if I do something out there reckless, that I am a reflection of them. And I don't want anybody thinking my mom, because my mom dares do. I don't want nobody thinking that about my mom and dad, so I'm going to keep on walking the right way so it does not come back to them. Or if you felt like you were going to really lose something and miss something to you, that will keep you walking in the straight way. there are way. Lord help us. Listen. I came from the school of spare the rod, spoiled child.
All right.
It worked for me. Yes. Some of y'all said, well, Reverend Jones, that worked for you. Because it worked.
Yes.
My mom and dad never spared anything about letting me know that there are consequences for my actions.
Yes.
If I got out of line,
yes,
I had to do some time.
Yes.
If I sat in the home spot for too long, I wasn't going to sit in that home. They did not believe in sparing the rod for the child. I am not an advocate for beating your children. Don't y'all say, Reverend, don't say beat them kids. No, she didn't. That's not what she said. However, if we don't teach our children that there is consequences for their actions, they are going to be eaten alive from society. Everybody ain't going to tolerate your baby like you tolerate your baby. Oh, he just being a kid, or she just a sweet mom. No. What you're teaching them at the house. The reason I'm telling you that about me, because this is a testimony for me. I've never been arrested. I've never been expelled. I can only remember being reprimanded in school what's happened. That happened when I was 5, and I was falsely accused then. I've never been fired off a job. So all I'm saying is that all of that discipline that I'm living in the legacy of Martha and Robert Thomas still work with you today.
Amen.
Things are going to go well with you when you obey your mother and mom. So this is not just for you, this is for all of us. We all got to respect the Lord. Because I tell my kids, I said, everybody got a boss. You think we're a boss? Everybody got to answer to somebody, and ultimately we got to answer to God. So we must continue to teach our children the responsibility of respecting authority.
Yes.
I'm going back to the word. Verse 4 says, for the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. So right here again, this is not just for kids. This is for all of us. Why do we think doing right is so hard? When we do what we want to do, not all the times that it work out for us. There are consequences for our actions. If you dance to the music, you sure don't have to pay to the viper. Y'all ain't talking back to me. I know it's not right. And finally, verse 5 says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities. Not only because of possible punishment, but because of the matter of conscience. So people, you always have to consider your actions. Because at the end of the day, who do we represent?
Okay.
The Bible says, always let them see you doing good. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we can't conform to what the world is doing. We have to do what our Father in heaven expects us to do. And he expects us to do good. He don't see good. Are we the image of Christ? Or are we the image of man? When your parents are telling you not to hang around with the wrong crowd, don't let your friends influence you to do the wrong thing. Now, you can have some friends that's good friends, maybe doing the right thing if they say, if they're being trained. Because my mother said, Mom, you know what's wrong? These people ain't been raised. They grew up, but they ain't been raised. I said, is that really what's happening to the young generation? She said, Mom, you don't know nothing. You know what I'm talking about? That's scary. That's scary to be in that disposition, knowing that you didn't raise your child right, but now she got to go out there and deal with all the rest of the riffraff. So we have done a poor job of doing what we need to do. And it's just like I'm saying about going to school. Quit telling your kids that the teacher ain't their mama. They know that. They don't even know that that's not their mama. Because if you went to the school and said that to the teacher, the teacher probably take you here, she'd say, I don't want to be a mama. Couple of break with the word of God in your life, teaching them what it says to obey your mother and father. That is the first commandment with a promise for you. What is the promise? That you things will go well with you. Stop telling these babies that's not their mama. They know it's not their mama. We are the righteousness of God. And we ought to let folks see us babies, doing what's right. Be good. What do I mean be good? Respect those who are in authority over you. Those teachers have all went through some form of education to get those certificates so they can stand before you those 7 or 8 hours trying to pour some knowledge in you. No, it's not biblical knowledge. You come here to get that. That's our job, to tell you how to live for the Lord. And when we tell you how to do it here, you can go and excel over there because you will have the right frame of mind. Amen. Because see, what I see now is just total disrespect. Total disrespect. And that's at large. That's not just in this generation. That's just not now. The whole world will act like they lost their whole entire life. Don't go back and respect nobody. So this is a real story. And I know most of you all get annoyed with this statement back in the day. Well, I'm sorry. Because back in the day, there used to be a time you can walk in the room where the kids are having a colorful conversation. So let me help y'all. They was cussing. But when an adult hit that room, that conversation would cease. Yeah. They wouldn't even turn around and apologize to you if they thought you heard the cussing. But today, people. So what am I saying? We ought to teach our children to respect authority, any adult for that matter. Be respectful. Because what I'm going to tell you is, if they ain't going to respect you as parents, don't expect them to respect me. What y'all teaching them at the house? Train up a child. Train up a child. Train up a child. Holy Ghost, help me away. I'm meddling a little bit. But it's tight. But it's right. I'm in a lot of stretch now. Y'all don't understand before y'all want to give y'all what he gave me, and I'm going to sit on down. So let's go to the last principle I told you about, establishing rules. Now, don't turn this practical discipline into legalism. We have become such a rebellious generation. Again, this principle is not just for children. It's for all of us. We have seemingly come to some conclusion. I don't have to follow no rules. You might be one that says, rules are meant to be broken. Maybe they are. But at its basic core, rules are enacted to keep order. If you have you really considered having what rules means? Because if we had no standards or pathways for keeping the peace, this really would be a wild, wild west situation. Are y'all hearing me? Rules are enacted to keep some type of order. Again, I'm not going to be the one that says every rule is a good rule. But if there is a rule, let's understand why it's there. So when the fire alarm goes off in school or work, or anywhere, and they ask you to exit the building. Do you understand why they're asking you to exit the building? They're trying to put into practice to keep you safe so you can be accounted for. God has established rules for us too. They are found throughout the whole Bible. He has never asked us to do anything that we cannot do. The first thing he said, if you love me, because we all proclaim that we love God, right? That we should be keeping his commandments. So he got some established rules for us too. And let me just tell y'all the first basic 10, because the first 10 was very basic. You should do this in your sleep. It was only 10 of them. He says, I am the Lord your God. I am the only true God. Thou shalt bring no false idols before me. There is nothing more important than me. This is God talking. Do not take the Lord God name in vain. Don't be out there using no explicit name with God. Y'all know explicit God. Y'all know the name. It says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Today is our Sabbath. So Sunday is all Jesus all day. That's what he's saying. Remember, rest in me. Believe what I've done for you all week. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Here we are at the point of the day. Honor thy mother and father. Whatever your mom and dad is telling you to do that's righteous, amen, just do it. Amen. It doesn't take any commentary to come back. Why I gotta do that? Well, what are you doing that for? No, feel like your turn. No, just do it. Simple. It's simple. Thou shalt not kill a murderer. You don't have a right to take somebody else's life. All life belongs to God. That's why he said you don't have the right to take it. This one a little bit over your head, but you'll catch it later on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This is for when you're a little bit older. One husband, one wife. One wife, one husband. Thou shalt not steal. If it's not yours, keep your hands off of it. Do not bear false witness against any neighbor of yours. Don't go around saying you saw something that you didn't see. Don't say you heard something that you didn't hear. Be found always doing what's right. Tell the truth. Thou shalt not cover anything that belongs to your neighbor. Don't be sitting around patting on what your friends got. Oh, she got a new iPhone. Oh, they got a new Xbox. What God has for you is for you. And I promise you again, all of the parents here in SBC, we are rewarders of good behaviors. Y'all got some good parents that if you know what you're supposed to do, they just like Jesus. He said, no good thing will I withhold from my children who walked upright before me, because we missed that bar. We got it right. If you're doing what your parents are telling you to do, the behavior, man, dazzle it. They'll go broke trying to get you what you want. They'll work $5 today trying to get you what you want. But you have to obey the authority. I'm just trying to help somebody out here. Because I know that you all looking for a holler preacher message today. I'm trying to teach you some practicality. Because God's word has to be put into practice. Because I know your mother and father, they got some rules for you. There's some rules at the house. But I must admit, I think when I'm a grandparent, so I'm a little bit different. I'm a little lax. But ask the mom. And I got a look. Grandma just looked at me. Because it doesn't take all of that. I said, I'm not an advocate for whooping children. If it don't require that. And if it requires that. So you got to get what you got to get. So my thought is, if they told you once, they better not tell you three times. They might do it again. Because the first time, you probably going to listen to no way. So you will get that second chance. But on third time, we got to get it together up in here. All I'm trying to do is give you some practicality in what God's word is saying about discipline is for your own good. It's for your own good. Ain't nobody telling you to do nothing that's going to hurt you. Because God don't tell us to do nothing that's going to hurt us. Amen. So if he gave it to us, we can give it to you. And it's supposed to be put into practice. So I told y'all, I'm going to let y'all go. I tell y'all the time to do what the devil wants to be alone. We'll leave it alone. My last and final point. If you got nothing out of what I've exposed to you and espoused to you over these last 15 to 20 minutes, I want you to hit this last part. Because this is pivotal for you. Listen to it. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. No. Don't nobody want to do no discipline. They don't want to do that. It doesn't seem pleasant at the time. But painful. See, the Bible says that if a man doesn't chasten his son, he don't love. That's why I said God chastens us. When he says chasing us, that means he kind of whoops us and gets us back in the water. Because if I didn't love you, I would let you live a reckless life. Do what you want to do, I don't care. But that's not the truth. He loves us. Your parents love you. I love you. They want to see you doing well. But how do you do it? You must be obedient in respect, authority, and follow established rules. It says, but it's painful. But later on, notice what I said, later on, because all the things that my parents did to me when I was your age and younger than that, it still applies today. I know how to conduct myself out in this meaningful world. Sometimes I'm going to say something, sometimes I ain't. I'm going to have to know the difference, and that's what it is to you. You got to know when to stand up and when to sit down, but you learn that as you grow up. It says, but later on, when you get in your adulthood, become parents yourself. You already have this down track. You have down fact of what you know that your children need to do so they can have a long life. Honor your mother and your father. It says, however. See, this is the other thing that discipline and obedience and following rules do. It says that those, it will produce a harvest of righteousness. Is not going to be righteous with God? Isn't that not going to be shown to be righteous? Yes. Who wants to be wrong? We want to be righteous. Yes. So it's giving you the situation, there's always contentions. Every time y'all come in the house, y'all just upset. We got to fight every day, all day. Come on, no. If you're doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, how to do it, honor your mother, father. It says, raising his hand peace. Raising his hand peace. Ain't nobody trying to talk out. Come on in, do your homework. Don't watch TV, get your dad to sit down somewhere. But if you're not doing what you're told to do, we're going to have some problems. Who wants that? I like peace. Y'all like peace?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, ain't nothing like it. But those who have been trained by it, so it says those who've been trained. The training piece is what's going on now. The training piece is what's happening. These are what we consider y'all formative years. So if you get the lesson today, tomorrow, and by the time you get into adulthood, you'll be ready. All we're doing is trying to make you ready. So don't nobody tell you how you're going to know. And this again, this is for y'all parents. What y'all teach them about the house?
Question.
What y'all teach them about the house? Because I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen so many kids after the store, or in the store's nightmare.
Boy.
It's a nightmare. Y'all be no trick baby. Because this boy decided to call his mom out her name. And what he expects out of us. going down.
Yes.
So we have to hold on to those truths, and yet we know that you can't fight the enemy if you don't have a weapon.
Amen.
And what